When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Forever Dog.
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning a winning inside fix, how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and onomatopoeia. It's comic book commentary.
Hey, this is Tim Seeley from my home office, and I'm sitting in front of a preview copy of Bloodshot number 1 from Valiant Comics. I'm going to do some commentary and talk about the book. If you'd like to read along, that'd be totally cool, kind of like a little DVD commentary. This is the relaunch of the book that comes out in September, September 25th, I believe, and this particular version of the book is you know, sort of a reader-friendly, big action, lots of heart series about Bloodshot, who's a guy who was turned into a weapon and is trying to like make up for what his body has been used for. So let's start talking stuff. We open at the G7 summit because I really wanted to set the stage right away that, you know, the Valiant universe was very much like our universe, and that also that the potential for, you know, any kind of interaction with this character was going to be like on a global scale, that, you know, even though he's just one guy, that that we're going to, you know, be showing the world and how he relates to it. And this was just a chance to sort of do a framing sequence that I could come back to at the end. But of course, we start out in Yemen, Hodeida. And that was one thing I kind of pitched to Valiant kind of early on, was that I wanted to utilize real world conflict zones so it felt more real. And also because it's so much horrible stuff is going on in the world at any given time, that it's really hard not to, you know, sort of use that as the inspiration for hoping that someone could do something about it. And that's what we're kind of putting Bloodshot as, this guy who, you know, he's in his quest to make up for what his body has been used for in the past. He's going to the most dangerous places on Earth and, you know, diving into these conflicts to save people. And so we kind of played around with a real scenario, which was going on in Yemen, which was that that the military, specifically the soldiers working for the Saudi regime, mercenaries, were stopping civilian aid trucks. So we dealt with that a little bit. Of course, you know, the goal is always to make a fun comic first, but I think it's really hard not to do something sort of military and action theme without a little bit of reality. So this sequence is sort of introducing these mercs. The captain is this guy with a big gold gun and a lot of swagger. And I love, so I'm working with Brett Booth on this book and artist Andrew Dollhouse. And I was kind of amazed at how they make this sort of pop candy action stuff that just looks, you know, so slick. It's funny, when I'm writing stuff, I tend to see this really, which is weird, I guess. I'm surprised about this about myself, but I tend to see things really grounded. And so in my head, this captain was just like a kind of really realistic guy. And then I get it back from Brett, and he's like this awesome, super villainy looking, kind of high tech, little touch of anime look to him, which I thought was pretty cool. And obviously, he's a really bad guy. So we're more than happy when he disappears below the truck and something terrible happens. And we get this kind of scary moment of bloodshot. And it's something I really wanted to do with him, which was play up the horror elements of the character. By the time we get to page four, you know, you get this sort of horror scene. He would be scary. He would be so scary. You know, he's barely human and unpredictable and maybe completely invincible. And I think he would scare the crap out of you. So I want to play up that aspect of it. And plus, you know, I kind of come from writing horror comics. So I think there's always that influence on my work, even when I'm doing an action story. And then we jumped five, which is our big Brett Booth action debut scene. And he totally nailed it, of course. That couldn't look more 90s awesome Wildstorm if we tried. I think it's got the same kind of muzzle flares and all that sort of stuff. And had I seen that at age 13, I would certainly have bought every issue of this until the end. So I really love what he did with this scene. Really great action. You know, I wanted to play, you know, sort of what it would really be like to be for bullets flying around. I think, I mean, at least as much as you can in comics, you know, and they don't, you know, stop when they hit someone in the chest and they, you know, it's like people get shot through the face and all kinds of terrible things happen when bullets are flying. So we want to play that up. So we get on to page six. I really like, this is something I talked to Andrew about, is that one of the hardest things about Bloodshot is that the character has bright white skin. And since the panel borders are often white, you sometimes run the risk that he sort of disappears in the border. So, Andrew kind of developed this system of getting around that by, you know, occasionally sort of using local color and you see the panels on this page that are red, breaks up the page, keeps, you know, this, character from disappearing. But yeah, it's an interesting sort of thing you have to think about, when you do, you know, comic books, because you're dealing with static images and, you know, there's always going to be borders. There has to be that to separate the story, and you have to think about how they're going to play. And I think, yeah, Andrew did a great job with this. Move on to page seven, and we get this sort of Bloodshot able to just, you know, completely disappear, and he's very stealthy and he's fast as hell. And this was the attempt to do, you know, a character who, he's super dangerous. He's, you know, and he's scary. I wanted that to be the case. Like, even though he's on our side, he's scary to just about everyone else. And that's kind of going to be, you know, a theme going through, is that could you let something like this walk around the world, you know, knowing that it existed. And I think, you know, especially the way we tend to, you know, our government tends to treat any sort of potential threat, I think they would be pretty afraid of him. And we go on page eight, and this is where you get the Bloodshot has stolen a tank, and he's gonna use that tank to get the rations and food to the people who need them. So I had kind of pitched this into the original story, was I want to do a tank chase scene, and I want you know, to see that kind of action in a comic, which you don't usually see, and Brett killed it. I think this is a really awesome sequence. And Bloodshot can talk to machines, so he has no problem, you know, taking over cars and anything with computers and stuff. So we get the scene where he's trying to steal this grain supply car, and it gets blown up with him in it, messes him up pretty good. But we're starting to see his various powers. So he, you know, comes out, and this captain is talking, and he suddenly just turns and blows all his dudes away. And you see that Bloodshot is a shapeshifter. That's one of his many powers, is he can use the nanites to reconfigure his body into any form. So, you know, this, I really wanted to show all of his various abilities on display and make him the reason he's formidable. You need to see it instead of me telling you about it. And yeah, we get to see him talking to the Ivis of the tank, and he treats it like a, you know, like a friend almost, like, you know, talk to me, honey. And then we get this action chase scene through Data with Bloodshot in the tank. You know, I really wanted to play with this idea of him not being so far from that tank, right? I mean, he's a sophisticated weapon, and it kind of all depends on who's in the pilot's seat. So get some of that, and we get our guy who got shot through the face, and he's not super happy about it. And we get a joke in there, a little bit of a blue joke. He says, "One of you bastards thought me clean through the face," and then he says, "Yeah, well, now you can accommodate two more buddies." And I thought that was a funny little joke, and hopefully it plays okay. Because, you know, military dudes are always giving each other crap, so I figured that would work. And so this is where Bloodshot, you know, sees that Civ aid truck, and he pokes a hole through it, and he uses the tank to carry the civilian aid stuff to people who need it. And then you get this crazy action scene with him running through the streets with that. Then we have page 13, where Bloodshot is just thinking of himself as Santa, basically, and he's singing. Originally, I had done "Santa Claus is Coming to Town." I was having him sing it as Bruce Springsteen, and we found out that's not a public domain song, so we couldn't use it, and I had to rewrite it. It still works. I was, you know, sort of part of the scene, me writing it was me thinking of him singing it as Bruce Springsteen. I wanted to be just this, you know, crazed maniac. I think part of my inspiration for Bloodshot is actually like a Nicolas Cage performance, because he's in my thinking of him, he's kind of so far beyond. He's seen things so crazy that I don't think he would react like a normal person. I mean, he's experienced pain that none of us would ever feel. He's died multiple times. He's been out of control so many times. I think he would just be sort of occasionally just a broken guy. And so part of my view of him is that he's kind of a crazy person, sort of, you know, like he's okay with going pretty far. And I think it's sort of a way to keep himself sane, you know, to like let things be, as crazy as they are, is, you know, is him accepting that he doesn't always have control over his life, which is why on page 14, you get the, you know, him singing "Two Goddamn Turtle Doves" and "A Partridge in a Pear Tree," while he's being blown up. So that's a big action scene. And then of course on page 15, we debut, this high-tech helicopter that just blows away everything. It takes out everybody. But Bloodshot is, you know, pretty much annihilated by this, but he's not stopping. He's still going, because he promised that he would do a good thing. And he's, you know, that's one of the things I really want to play with him as a character, is to make up for what has been done. He's going to stop at nothing to try to help people. And I think that's really kind of an interesting character, sort of, you know, he's kind of got this sort of somewhere between a revenge, but also this, just this desire to make up for things, to just do good, because I think he kind of feels like he has to balance, his karma, you know, his body's been used to do so many bad things. And so he just kind of feels like it has to be that way, which, you know, most characters I think tend to be bound by duty or revenge. And I think, you know, Bloodshot kind of is somewhere in between, and his revenge is by helping people, also by blowing up bad guys. There's always that too. And then on page 16, we debut our team of militant deep state operatives. They're called Black Bar. We don't actually know what their name is, and maybe neither do they. We don't know, but because their name is just represented by a word that's been blacked out with marker. This is Major or General Grail, who is the leader of this team. And he's concerned about Bloodshot because I think he knows that Bloodshot's right. Everything Bloodshot thinks about us, that's true. And that makes him worried, because he can't change humans, but maybe he can stop this guy who knows the worst things about us. And then we cut back to our G7 summit, and this was the opportunity. You know, I don't want to open the book on Explano. You know, I knew I had to tell you some things about this character, but I didn't want to just open it up that way. I wanted to drop you into action in media res, like show you the scene, show you this cool stuff, and then once you had a sort of affection and stakes for these people, then come back and sort of give you an example of what's going on here and give you some information. And so this is Grail speaking to the G7 summit and just kind of, you know, they just appear. The G7 guys have no idea who these people are. They're so deep cover that they're sort of, you know, they can just show up in the middle of the summit. And it's clear like the American leader here has dealt with this before, but the other guy has no idea what's going on here. And so we get some background about who Bloodshot is. And I you know, I felt like there's this tendency in comics now to like, you know, just assume everybody knows how these things work and that we can just drop everybody in and that, and, you know, and that we don't have to explain anything and they'll figure it out as we go along. And I think that's kind of just for old fans. I mean, I think there's a tendency only to think, you know, of course, if someone's been reading comics for 30 years, maybe you don't have to explain Spider-Man's powers to them their first issue. But I mean, if you're talking about somebody new coming into comics, then yeah, you absolutely do need to give some background. And I really felt like that was important in this book. To you know, tell people about this character. What are his powers? You know, when I was a kid, you would pick up an issue of X-Men and everyone would explain their powers at some point. It would all be done in exposition, but, you know, we weren't ashamed of it. It was important to remind existing readers, and it was more important to tell new readers so that they weren't confused. So that's the way I wanted to approach this book. And I think, you know, I can already tell, you know, that old school readers kind of feel like you're talking down to them when you do it, but they need to understand that this, you know, this is going to have a bunch of people who haven't read comics before, or haven't read Valiant comics before. And so I think it's really important that we get this, the scene. And I thought, after you've spent a bunch of time with this guy, and if you don't know who he is and you kind of think of him as a, you know, he seems kind of like a cool guy and that you'd want to hang out with him and he's trying to help people, you'd kind of see, oh my God, well, this is his background and it's terrifying. And anybody would be messed up by this. So I want to be able to get through that by making it cool, you know? And so instead of telling you, I get to show you it because it's a montage and it's set as a part of, you know, an informational thing for these government officials, that I would get to show you that as they would be shown it. And I got to let Brett just go crazy and draw cool stuff. I mean, that montage on page 18 is really, really cool. You know, there's, if you're having Brett Booth draw a comic, like, you have to let Brett Booth draw a comic. There's not going to be like 10 panel pages and tons of heads talking. I want it to be full of cool stuff, you know, and I want to get out of Brett's way, which was definitely one of the goals of this job for me. And I approach everything a little differently. So that was part of this one. And then page 19, we introduce, you know, Grail and his team and what they have to do and what they feel like is their goal. And you get an introduction shot of a character who will be important later. That's Eidolon. And she is, she's one of the agents. Very cool design by Brett there. But really this, you know, this was about, okay, so Bloodshot is a guy who was made to hunt down superpower kids, and he did some pretty terrible things, and he's mad about that. He's mad that his body was used that way. And though for now, you know, he's trying to make up for it by doing good things, what happens when he's fed up with us, you know? So that's really, something I really want to play up. I mean, and it's a cool thing about the Valiant characters too, is that though it's a superhero universe, basically, it's always kind of based in this idea that, you know, these people are very powerful, and sometimes their goals go against those in power. And so you've seen, you know, this played up in pretty cool storylines from Valiant before, looked with Exo and with Divinity and some other of their characters. And I like that. I feel like that's so much part of the Valiant universe, that you wouldn't necessarily always toe the line, and that you would disagree with things that that the people in power did. And if you had the power, when you change it, I think we all would do that. And so, you know, and Valiant universe is full of guys, characters who are duty bound, I think, to themselves. So that's what we want to play up. Now we get this guy. Now he knows the truth, and I really want to play up this sort of deep cover, deep state conspiracy sort of world that, you know, I think makes for some pretty cool black ops superhero stuff. And so there you go. And that's, we lead the issue out as we let it in, and, you know, they just, lights turn on and everyone's terrified. of what they've seen. And I thought that would be a really cool way to introduce you to this world. And I hope you agree. Hope you check out Bloodshot. I'm writing every month when Brett's drawn every month, and it's going to be pretty great. We're already up to issue 7, so we're packing it full of action and lots of heart and lots of character stuff. I think it's really important that you like this guy and you understand why he does what he does, and you also kind of understand how conflicted he is too. So I think we'll play a lot of that stuff. So thanks for joining with me on this, and thanks to Ben Blacker and his website. And I hope you guys have a good day. Bye bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered by Chelsea Jacobson and mastered by Anna Rubinova. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.